to turn your attention to John, the 20th chapter, starting in verse number 19. Thursday morning, I woke up with this thought, and I've read these scriptures so many times, but I want this word to become living in my life. God does not waste words. He does not produce words on a page just to fill a chapter. There's something significant in every one of the verses in this book. Verse number 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. What is today?
Sunday.
Today is the first day of the week.
Amen.
The same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you.
Amen.
And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. Now, I've said this over the years. The first words to the disciples after he is raised from the dead, after this horrible experience at Calvary, were peace be unto you. Because we're a fearful people.
Amen.
We're afraid of tomorrow.
Right.
We're even afraid of our past.
Amen. That's the truth.
And in our minds conjure up all kinds of things that could happen to us.
Right.
And so God knows if there was ever a time we need peace, it's now.
Amen.
Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was what he did in Acts chapter 2.
Right.
He breathed on them. Suddenly there came a rushing. When God breathes, there's a tornado, folks.
Amen.
Amen. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. You know what that means? He walked through the walls. You know, one day we'll be able to do that.
Amen.
Because we're going to have a glorious body just as his glorious body.
Amen.
Amen. The doors being shut in. And he stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Again. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy fingers, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen.
We're talking about us, folks.
Yes.
Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. God, make it alive and make it cause a difference in our lives, God. Change us as we hear the word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 26. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. I've always been fascinated by these scriptures. Here, all of the disciples were huddled together in some room, someplace. They barred the doors because they were afraid that the same thing that happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. There's safety in numbers, but they somehow found a place where they could sort of hide out. Yet they knew enough to gather themselves together on Sunday. The first day of the week. And I believe they were in prayer and worship, and perhaps there was some strategy that they were formulating because they weren't sure that Jesus was actually coming back, and now they're going to have to defend themselves. They didn't have the God who said he was going to protect them. How soon you forget? 3 days? And as we read, Thomas didn't make it to church that Sunday because there was a big sale at the market. And he didn't want to miss out. I don't know why he wasn't there. Maybe he had some kind of legitimate reason, but more likely, he was supposed to be there and he wasn't there. He really didn't have a place that he could be that would be more important. He did miss out. He missed out on the first appearance of Jesus after the resurrection. Thomas missed out on the comfort that he could have gotten from all of the other disciples. You know, we have comfort. We comfort one another, especially when we have problems, you know. Amen. The presence of God comforts us if we don't miss out. He missed out on being touched by Jesus and hearing his voice. But most of all, he missed out on the peace that Jesus gave everybody else that was in the room. And when you aren't where you can experience God, then you become a doubter instead of a shouter. 3 days ago, he believed, but now he didn't. It caused Thomas not only to lose his faith in Jesus, but he lost his faith in all of the other disciples that he spent 3.5 years with. He said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. The guys he spent 3.5 years with, seeing all of the miracles, all of the wonders, hearing all of the sermons, all of the parables, and he missed one Sunday, and now he's calling them a liar. Isn't he? I know what you're saying, but I don't believe you. So Thomas had to wait another week. And they gathered themselves again in the same room, again, locking the doors. They were barred, and guess who walks through the walls? Oh, the mercy of God. Hallelujah. I'm grateful he walked into this place this morning. Amen. I've seen people who have walked away from God. I've seen people deny God. I didn't want anything to do with the people of God any longer. And then one day, walk back into church, and God is all over them. The power of God hits them like they have never been gone at all. You want confirmation? Jesus will touch you again and again and again. How real do you want me to be? That's what Jesus is saying. Amen. And the tears start streaming, and they say something like, my Lord and my God, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be touched by you. But the mercy of God, because I simply was in a place where you wanted me to be. Amen. Lord meaning supreme authority. God meaning supreme deity. What happens, there was a revelation to Thomas, but not only to Thomas, that Jesus was God, and he was the supreme deity. Amen. He said to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, but blessed are they that have not seen me and yet believe. Amen. And that's each and every one of us.
Amen.
I wonder if we don't have even greater experiences with God because we have not seen God. I wonder if our relationship with God is even greater because we haven't been able to touch Him and to experience the physical body of our God. Our level of faith isn't predicated on seeing God. And as a result, perhaps we have a greater hands-on experience with God, and everybody can feel the presence of God all at the same time. Instead of, I got to get to God, God comes to us, walks through walls that we have put up. 1 Peter 1 and 8 says, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you receive, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In other words, our rejoicing or worship can't be expressed just with our words. There is something that happens when the power of God moves on us, but it's a feeling of joy as we enter into his presence that's beyond any kind of expression, perhaps a greater level of experience with God than those who were able to physically touch God, because we have a greater dimension of God in the spirit than would be in the physical. What also amazes me is what happens after Jesus demonstrates how real he is to them. I mean, think about it. 3.5 years, they've heard every word, every sermon. He's done every kind of miracle that you could possibly imagine, from raising the dead to curing the sick to the leprosy to touching people with issues of blood. Verse 30 of that chapter 20 in John says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So there's all kinds of things that were done that we don't even have privilege to understand was done, but these are written that ye might believe, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. We have a greater level of faith and belief in our church because we have experienced every kind of miracle, from raising the dead to curing cancer to curing heart disease, all of the things, the deliverance from habits and things that overwhelm us. And why? That we could have a greater belief that when things go south, hey, I still believe him.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what kind of miracles Jesus performed in their presence, but how many does it take for someone to believe?
Amen. Good.
I remember someone called me and said, my next door neighbor has a tumor, has two little girls, a loving husband, a beautiful house, but the doctor said she has a tumor the size of a cantaloupe, and where it's positioned, it just doesn't look operable. Would you come and pray for my neighbor? So I went and I took my Bible and I explained what God has promised us, just anointed her with oil and prayed a prayer. Didn't feel like, wow, there's a move of God in here. The next week she went to the doctor, no tumor whatsoever.
Amen.
Now, folks, when that happens, what is the logical thing? Get me to that church. If there's a God that can do that kind of thing, I want to know all about him. When I first walked into a church such as this and felt the Shekinah glory of God and my upper lip started quivering, it felt like God was squeezing the top of my head. I didn't know anything about Pentecost, but I knew one thing. I needed to know more about my God.
Amen.
Because those kind of miracles say, hey, come and touch me. Put your hand in my hand. John 21 and 25 says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Can you imagine so many miracles, signs, and wonders that God did that if they were put in books, the world couldn't contain them?
Amen.
And yet, how many people walked away from God?
Right.
How many people who were miraculously healed didn't show up? How many miracles and signs and wonders would it take for you to always serve God?
Amen.
Two? Three, 10, or when things got difficult, would you lock yourself in a room someplace and work out your own strategy? I don't know how we're going to get through this. I wonder what kind of doctor we can see, what kind of lawyer we can see, what kind of financial counselor I can see. Yet after physically seeing Jesus and witnessing all of the signs and the miracles, in the very next chapter, Chapter 21, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and two other disciples, unnamed, decided to quit the ministry and go back to fishing. Unbelievable. All of what I've experienced in God, and I'm going back to what I used to be. And Jesus had to go looking for them again to ask them, how much do you love me? More than this fishing business? Has he ever asked you that? How much do you love me? More than your recreation? More than your house? More than your car? More than your family? I want to know. That's what Jesus is saying. I want to know. And if you're not sure, I can set up some kind of school for you.
Amen.
That you get to that place where, okay, well, ooh, I'm worried about my finances, but I don't want to do it God's way. You see, more than the fishing business, more than the recreation, more than hobbies. You see, Jesus can overwhelm us with success if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us.
Amen.
Don't worry about it, Jesus. I'll work three jobs. Don't worry about it, Jesus. I'll take care of it. When God's saying, why?
Amen.
What for?
Amen.
When I'm willing to give you and take care of you and give you peace, and you're going to do it on your own? Yeah, but I trust me more than I trust you. Just let me lock myself away someplace. And when things get better, I'll come back to church. I've seen businesses fail. People suffer financial loss because they didn't put God first. Pastor, help me. No, God's the one who can help you. But only based on conditions. Amen. Turn to Hebrews, the sixth chapter, please. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, therefore, we're talking to a church here. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God. There are some things that we don't have to reestablish in our life any longer. because we know they're true. We responded the first time, and we should continue to respond in the same thing, in the same teaching and doctrine. Of the doctrines of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible, that word there really means rare, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, that's us, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. We start this journey of living for God. There is no turning back. Because God has opened the window of heaven and exposed us to things that most of the world have no clue of. You can tell people about it, but they have to experience it for themselves. But once you experience living for God and sitting in heavenly places and experiencing the miracles that have filled this world, no turning back. What I have never been able to understand is when people have experienced what we have experienced after coming into the church, tasted of heavenly gifts of the Holy Ghost and sat in heavenly places, how can you go back to business as usual? Just stop coming to church, leaving people who loved you and were your family. Forget all of the messages, deny the miracles. How do you put your head down on a pillow at night and say, well, it was just an experience for me, and now I'm going back to fishing. And I'll work out my own future based on my own abilities and my own efforts. Yet Jesus is still willing to show up if you're willing to show up.
Amen.
What if Thomas decided, well, you know what? Those guys just lied to me. I'm never going back there again. You can go back to business as usual, but you know, Jesus has your address. I don't know of anybody who has ever felt complete after once experiencing the miracles, wonders of God, and then walked away. The Upper Room Experience is going to be with us on the last Sunday of December and New Year's Eve. And years ago, they wrote and recorded a song called Jesus Walked Through the Wall. Yeah. It is just an awesome song. And in fact, they received the Dove Award for that. I guess it's a very high honor. And I was thinking yesterday as I was putting this message together, how many people have been in the same place as the disciples were that we read about in John, the 20th chapter, had a devastating situation come in their life. Perhaps they hadn't felt the power and presence of God for some time and reacted the same way that the disciples reacted, isolating themselves someplace with the doors barred. Won't answer the phone. Don't want to talk to anybody they used to know. Afraid of what was going to happen next. Wondering, where is Jesus? And I'm disappointed, and therefore I'm going to isolate myself. The pastor didn't shake my hand. Fear grips you, and you try to plan a strategy to work out things on your own rather than turning them over to God just in case Jesus doesn't show up. I know what I'm going to do. That's not faith. That's doubt. Oh, we have all witnessed the miracles and deliverances of other people. In fact, we've all had our own miracles and testimonies, and perhaps you thought God would never allow something like this to happen in your life because you have been faithful and you've lived for God the best that you possibly could. But now the place is, well, different. the peace isn't there anymore. Wake up in the middle of the night and you're afraid. You're wondering what's going to happen. Fear has replaced faith. The tests come back and they think it could be cancer. Your finances have not allowed you to sleep at night. You're worried about, am I going to keep the house? Am I going to be able to provide for my family? Your marriage is on shaky grounds and you're not sure what's going to happen or what you should do and how can you restore it. Your children are making wrong decisions and you can't reason with them like you did when they were younger. Your parents are getting older and need more of your help and finances, but your time and finances are limited and you don't know what to do and you feel guilty about it. What do you do? It seems like there is just no clear answers for you. And then, Jesus walks. He walks through the wall. You never thought he'd come in. My God still walks through walls of depression and fear and anxiety and trouble in your life. And he says, peace be unto you. You don't have to handle this by yourself. Those were the first words after the resurrection. And you know, a people that don't have peace don't have joy. People who don't have peace, they can't contribute to what God wants them to do. They have to have a peace, a contentment, if you will. They can't be worrying about every little situation. Every one of us are going to go through all kinds of situations within our life, but the confidence is that God is going to take you by the hand. You can put your hand in the hand of my God. And know that he could raise himself from the dead. He can raise you from the problems that you have. He can always walk through the walls that perhaps we have put up. Amen. There's no door that can prevent him. Amen. There's no one who can shut a door or open the door like our God can. Amen. And he's confirmed that to us over and over and over again. Turn to John, the 14th chapter, please. Verse number 1, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now we can go to our place, or we can allow him to make a place for us. Years ago, I preached a message that basically said, when trouble comes, you need to know where to run to. Yeah. Not when it happens, now where do I go? You need to purpose in your mind that if I have problems in my life, I need to run to the church, I need to run to my God, I need to have the comfort of all of the other disciples. I need to be on the same page as everybody else. Amen. Who can help me through this. Amen. Together, we're strong. Amen. Hallelujah. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Amen. Verse 25. In fact, starting in verse number 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to make myself known to you. Verse 25 says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. You can have $200,000 in the bank and still not have peace. You can have all of the toys. You know, it's not who dies with the most toys that wins. You can have all of those things. You can have millions of dollars, and most people who win the lottery, they are more miserable than anybody else because it doesn't bring peace. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. Verse 18 says this, I will not leave you comfortless. That word comfortless means orphans. I will not leave you orphans. I will come unto you. Amen. All you have to do is ask. And then if you turn to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee.
Amen.
How are we going to work this out? I don't know. How am I going to get through this sickness? I don't know. But I'm trusting God.
Amen.
Because any minute, he's going to walk through that wall.
Amen.
And he's going to say, touch me.
Amen.
And then our last scripture of the musicians would come, Philippians, the fourth chapter. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. I don't know if that word always is right, but I think it is. That means no matter what your situation, Sister Katie said it this morning, you know, how can we be happy when we have problems? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Amen.
He's right there.
Amen.
Therefore, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts or your feelings and your minds or your thoughts through Christ Jesus. What did it say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace could be with you.
What?
Shall be with you.
Amen.
I don't have all the answers, but I think the answer for just about every question is Jesus.
Amen.
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. If you can't change it, allow me to be comfortable with it.
Come on, amen.
Come on. Amen. I'm telling you, there have been more times than I could count where Jesus walked through the wall.
Amen.
And I had the doors barred.
Come on, man.
And I isolated myself, perhaps even had a little pity party because things weren't going like I thought they should go. God, how could you allow this to happen in my life? And then he walks through the wall and says, peace be unto you. I walk into a hospital and there's a peace that comes with God. I don't know if I could ever get to that place where the three Hebrew children were, where they said to the king, I know my God can deliver us, but if not, and then they walk into a fiery furnace, and who walks through the wall? Didn't we just put three men in there?
Right.
No, there's four.
Amen.
Because he won't let you alone.
Amen.
In your despair.
Amen.
In your depression, in your diagnosis, in your financial dilemma.
Amen.
He won't let you alone because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Peace be unto you. Would you stand with me, please? They built a tower not too long after the flood. Because their strategy was, we've got to make provisions to help ourselves because we're not going to rely on God.
Right.
And all of what we have done in order to make sure that our life is better, when God's saying, do you trust me? Because
yes.
I'll be there for you.
Yes, amen.
And there is no wall that I can't walk through. The altar is open. Would you come?